Queen Elizabeth was asked a similar question and said, Prince Philip is the head of our home. I'm the queen of the country. Sarah Palin would be under the authority of her own husband in their home.
That is Dr. Richard Land. He's president of Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, stating that Sarah Palin can be vice president and still allow her husband to lead them in their family and their marriage. Greeting and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's open lines for the first half of this hour. I'd like your answer to the question, would a female vice president violate the so-called order of creation? It's a biblical teaching, the order of creation. I'll get into its simple definition here in just a moment. But the question is for you, and I want your response to that question. There's a biblical order of creation, God, Christ, husband, wife, or God, Christ, man, woman, that is very clearly taught by Scripture. Would a female vice president violate that order of creation? If so, how so? And if not, how isn't it a violation of the order of creation? When John McCain chose Sarah Palin, I started getting email from listeners, from fellow pastors asking me this question or arguing one way or the other on that question. I want your answer to it. Would a female vice president violate the order of creation? It's open lines. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live this Thursday, October the 2nd. 1-877-623-6943. Or you can email your questions or your comments and your answers to that question right here in the studio. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Open lines for the next half hour. A little bit later, Wesley Smith will join us from the Discovery Institute. We'll talk about a scientific breakthrough that they claim to be able to coax adult stem cells into an embryonic state and bypass the embryo altogether in stem cell research. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest right after that to talk about single-issue voting. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. All right, the order of creation is, it's really not a complicated thing. You will find Paul talking about it at several points in Scripture when it comes to the conduct of worship and the life of the Christian church. He simply takes it for granted that at creation, God establishes an order in the universe, a relationship between himself and his created beings, human beings, that are two separate sexes, male and female. God recognizes a difference between male and female. And at creation, God establishes this order that runs roughly, according to St. Paul, God, Christ, man, woman. So Paul can say at one point, the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the husband, and God is the head of Christ. There's the order of creation. Now, in the church, for millennia, that order was more or less observed in the way the church conducts its business. What about the civil realm? What about politics? What about our government? Would Sarah Palin, elected vice president, be a violation in any way of that order of creation? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Okay, let's hear some more from Dr. Richard Land. He says that Southern Baptists, for their part, don't consider women inferior to men.
The Baptist faith and message explicitly states its affirmation of the equality of men and women. But for whatever reason, God chose to place restrictions on the office of pastor and when it comes to the headship role in a home.
All right. What he's laid out there, I think, is probably, or at least had been for millennia, the general consensus of the church. The church was never interested in teaching the inferiority of the fairer sex, but always in maintaining the order of creation, both in the home and in the church. So think about that. Sarah Palin is elected to be vice president, if she is. When she goes home to her husband, I believe his name is Todd, she goes home to her husband, she's the vice president. Second highest office in the land. There's a tremendous amount of authority that goes with that. Is she vice president at home when she sits down to dinner with her husband and her kids? Is it Mrs. Vice President, or is it her husband suddenly usurped from his headship in the family? Does it violate the order of creation? Dr. Land also says that the Bible forbids female pastors in the realm of the church.
In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says that women are not to assume authority over men. We assume that that means in the church, because it is a pastoral epistle written by Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy, about how things are to be done in the church.
Okay, so if that's the way it works in the church from New Testament times until now, and let's allow for the recognition that many, many churches, especially here in the United States, have thrown the order of creation out of their circles and have violated it with regard to female pastors. Okay? They have broken with the ancient practice of the church and the scriptural teaching, and they've allowed female pastors. But I'm wondering about, in the civil realm, a female vice president, would that violate the order of creation? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE, or email your questions, your comments, and your answers to that question to talkback@issuesetc.org. Well, here's one more soundbite from Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Now, after we hear it, I want your answer to that question. Would a female president violate the biblical teaching of the order of creation? 1-877-623-MYIE. Or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Land says that the Bible doesn't teach that wives and mothers must stay at home.
The only time it would be unbiblical for a woman to work outside the home would be if her husband didn't want her to. And clearly, Sarah Palin's husband is extremely supportive.
All right. So we've heard from Dr. Land. People are talking about this in the news. They're talking about this in society. We've been hearing from listeners wondering, or sometimes arguing, one side of the or the other on this question: would a female vice president violate the order of creation? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. It's Thursday, October the 2nd. Talkback@issuesetc.org. What do you think? Let's go first to Greg, who's calling from his car. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Actually, I'm not in my car, but I'm using my cell phone. I think that it wouldn't violate the order of creation to have a female vice president. And the reason I think that is that if you look at the account of the creation and the fall, there's a whole question of who is to give the word of God to who. Adam received the word of God directly and gave it to his and was to give it to his wife, which he did. But instead, she received a distorted word from the serpent and gave that to her husband. He listened to her instead of to God. So the whole structure of the order of creation is centered around the reception and the transmission of God's word. And thus, I don't see it as applying directly to a secular office like the vice president, which has nothing to do with receiving and transmitting God's word.
Oh, Greg, thank you very much, and thanks for listening out there. You know, that's very well stated. We do have the smartest listeners in radio. I'm convinced of this. That's very well stated. What do you think of that? Greg says, well, it's all about the transmission of God's word. And since vice presidents aren't necessarily, or in any sense, to be transmitters of God's word, at least according to that vocation of vice president, it's no harm, no foul when it comes to the order of creation to have a female vice president. What do the rest of you think? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Steve is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hello. I'm not one of your smartest listeners, but my response would be, I think that if that were a problem, that people would also have problems just in the workplace having a female boss. And I do and have made the argument with a person or two that I feel like that's where they end up, is their argument is she shouldn't be able to be vice president. And it's like, well, should somebody be able to be a CEO of a hospital or whatever? And I, in a lot of ways, don't see a lot of difference in their arguments for either position. So,
all right.
That's my comment.
Steve, thank you very much. So Steve is kind of taking this argument that it would be a violation of the order of creation to have a female vice president to its logical conclusion. What about other positions of authority in the civil realm? I would say, in adding to that, she is presently governor of Alaska. If she shouldn't be vice president, because it's a violation of the order of creation. She shouldn't be governor of Alaska either, should she? Maybe I'm wrong. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuezTC.org. This email comes from Gary in New Jersey. Perhaps a better question than is Palin violating the order of creation is this. In what vocation will she best serve her neighbor? Well, that is a very, very good question. Although that's a question that's difficult for, you know, the voters can't answer that question. But I don't know if they'll be thinking about that when they go to the polling place. It is a very, very good question. It's a good question for all of us, in fact. Thank you very much. It's always nice to hear people thinking in that respect. Carrie in Minnesota says, I'm definitely no expert on this, but I think back to the Judge Deborah in the Old Testament. I think the order of creation goes along more with the right-hand kingdom. Maybe she means the left-hand kingdom. It depends on how you – the civil realm. And even though I don't – even though I know God established government, writes Carrie, I think that it fits in the left-hand kingdom. So in business and government, things in our left-hand vocations, I don't think it violates the order of creation for a woman to be in charge. At home would be different. There, her husband would be the head. Thank you, Carrie. Dave in Danville, Pennsylvania. I'll get to his email on the other side of this break. We're asking the question, would a female vice president violate the order of creation? I'm looking for your answer. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuezTC.org. Talk back at issuezTC.org. We'll be right back. Have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? Well, Concordia Publishing House is pleased to bring you Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming in October. To experience Treasury of Daily Prayer, click the book cover on our homepage, issuezTC.org, or you can order an advance copy of Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuezTC.org, and click On Demand Audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand Audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org. And click On Demand Audio.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Launch a campaign to help unborn babies.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Baby Bottle Blessings campaign raises funds as donors fill baby bottles with money. It's easy to do. First, pick a venue such as your church, school, or civic club. Next, publicize the campaign. Be sure to give instructions on what to put in the bottles and the dates they'll be available. You might place the bottles in high traffic locations or even give them out so people can fill them at home. When the campaign ends, announce the total amount raised and donate the proceeds to your local pregnancy resource center. Lastly, feel great about helping a worthy cause.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little bit of audio open lines in this hour. 15 more minutes of audio open lines. The question I've laid on the table, I want your answer. Would a female vice president violate the biblical order of creation? 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuezTC.org. In about 15 minutes, Wesley Smith will join us. We'll talk about a breakthrough being reported by the scientific community. Apparently, they're able to coax adult stem cells into an embryonic state. Now, this would bypass the embryo altogether and have all the advantages, both morally and scientifically, of both the adult and the embryonic stem cells. What do you make of it? We'll be talking about it with Wesley Smith in about 15 minutes, and Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us to talk about the single-issue voter. Is she one? Are you one? We'll talk about it later on the program. Okay, we had an email just before the break from Carrie in Minnesota. She was talking about the right and the left-hand kingdoms. There's a scriptural teaching here. You won't find the term right-hand, left-hand in Scripture. Those are the labels that Christians have attached to it subsequently. A distinction. Here we go to Romans chapter 12 and 13. A distinction between God's rule among his people, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the church, the body of Christ. That would usually be called the right-hand kingdom, for lack of a better term, where God rules through his word to the end of saving souls by the forgiveness of sins. That is distinct from what we would call the left-hand kingdom. Paul talks about human authorities, earthly governments, where God rules not toward the end of saving souls, but toward the end of simply keeping order in this world. Paul calls it rewarding the good and punishing the evil. And he rules in this civil realm by human agencies, governments that he puts into place. And they do this by reason and force. This is why Paul will say, the magistrate, he doesn't carry around a sword for nothing, you know. Reason and force. So we have these two distinct kingdoms, usually called the right-hand kingdom, the church, the left-hand kingdom, the civil realm. We're talking here about where these two meet. Would the biblical order of creation be violated by a female vice president? I want your answer to that question. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dave in Danville, Pennsylvania, his email reads, "This subject has always been a source of confusion to varying degrees. Does not two-kingdom theology, that's that distinction between right and left-hand kingdoms, allow for a woman to lead a country as long as there is a separation of church and state? Does headship in the home mean all things in the home, or does it just refer to spiritual leadership in the home?" That's a great question, by the way. "I mean, my wife is an expert in areas non-spiritual in which I have no clue," says Dave. "Is she to subordinate to me in those areas too?" That's really, really a good question. What is the nature of the biblical headship of the man in the home? Is it head in all things? Or is it spiritual leadership with regard to the Word of God? Maybe we'll have some time to answer that question right at the end of Open Lines. I think those are questions worthy of answers. Keith in Nebraska says this, "Greetings, a timely topic. It seems as if we're going to be concerned about Sarah Palin's election to a public office possibly conflicting with the orders of creation. Then we should also be concerned with women being able to vote. What else is voting than an exercise in authority? Anyone advocating repealing the right of women to vote?" No, not that I checked. Yes, I mean, in the sense, in our government, to have the power of suffrage, the power of the ballot box, the right to vote, is, in a government where we are governed by the consent of the governed, where we are the government when we go and vote through our representatives, that is an authority too. So you see, this question about having a woman vice president in the order of creation actually has tendrils that reaches out into other parts and to other areas as well. What about you? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio this Thursday, October the 2nd, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. I'm intrigued by Dave's questions of headship in the home. Is it just spiritual, or does it pertain to all matters? And here's my best answer to this as I read Scripture. So Paul does not make a distinction between spiritual and non-spiritual matters. He's talking here about vocations that permeate all aspects of our lives. So does the husband exercise headship in the home? Yes. Does that mean he has the final say? He needs to be, what, the court of final appeal on every single decision that is involved in being a family, raising children, running a home? Obviously not. It would be burdensome. He is able to subordinate himself to his wife in many things that are neither here nor there. But in matters that are clear teachings of the Word of God, I guess you could call it spiritual matters if you want to make that distinction, then the husband has first the responsibility. Remember, this is first a responsibility to be head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Now, this is very important. Be head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. Paul tells us what he expects when he says that the husband ought to be head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. He loved the church and gave himself for her, first and foremost in biblical headship, in this order of creation, is self-sacrifice on the part of the head. And he also says there back in, I think, the 21st verse of that fifth chapter of Ephesians, he says, let husband and wife be submissive to one another as unto the Lord. So there's mutual submission. But he doesn't go through a laundry list of things saying, okay, this is where you submit, this is where you don't. So what about you? The biblical order of creation, is it violated by a female vice president? We've heard from a number of our listeners on the phone and via email, the consensus so far seems to be, no, not really, nothing to worry about. Anybody out there says, it is? I do want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Okay, let's hear on this more on this issue from an ABC News piece. Here's a story on the order of creation and the ordination of women as pastors.
Perhaps nowhere is the Palin phenomenon more passionately embraced than here at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. But it's an embrace with a twist.
Are you as a group comfortable with Sarah Palin being a heartbeat away from the presidency?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I am very comfortable with that.
Would you be comfortable having her as your pastor?
No.
Not at all.
Sarah Palin's candidacy has reignited a debate among conservative Christians, some of whom don't think women should be pastors.
Both are of equal worth. Both have incredible abilities. Both are made in the image of God. But God is making a point by saying that there is a difference in the assignments given to men and to women.
According to one reading of the Bible, God wants men to take the lead in spiritual matters both at home and in church. Just this month, dozens of Southern Baptist bookstores pulled this magazine, featuring female pastors, from the shelves.
So never in the deepest recesses of your mind have you ever thought, this is unfair. These guys get to do it, but I can't.
Oh, of course I've said it in the deep recesses of my mind, because I'm a sinner.
Linda Barnes Popham has been a Southern Baptist pastor for 18 years, and she considers herself conservative, theologically and politically.
So you see no reason why you as a woman should not be a pastor in a Southern Baptist church?
Oh, I see no reason at all.
She says church leadership is cherry-picking Bible verses to justify marginalizing women.
I think it's a disservice to our young children in our church or our teenagers to say, now you can follow God's calling except for.
Some Southern Baptists say Popham is sinning by serving as a pastor. They point to the Apostle Paul, who they say is very clear in the Bible that men should be spiritual leaders because Eve was the first to succumb to temptation in the Garden of Eden.
Her problem's not with me. Her problem is with the New Testament. Her problem's with the Apostle Paul.
It doesn't matter what any other Southern Baptist leader thinks. And that's not to say I disrespect any of those other people. It's just that I have a higher calling than to worry about what they think.
All right, there's a story from ABC on female pastors. We do have to respond here to the Southern Baptist female pastor there, although I think Dr. Moeller and Richard Land did a great job of responding themselves. But to elaborate on their responses, and think about this carefully, she says, well, they're just cherry-picking verses. The church leaders are cherry-picking verses to try and squelch the voice of women in the church. If that's true, then the church has been doing that for 2,000 years. That's point number one. Point number two. St. Paul seems pretty clear that he respects the order of creation, and while he regards women as equally redeemed, equally gifted of God in every respect, he makes no distinction between men and women when it comes to how people receive gifts of the Spirit, does he? No. And yet he can say a woman ought not to teach or exercise authority. How can he do that? Is he just a sucker for the culture? No, the culture said women ought to be able to do anything, especially in spiritual matters. You could find a priestess on every corner in the ancient Roman world. St. Paul is saying this is not the way the holy body of Christ conducts itself. It recognizes the headship of Christ in a very particular way. The headship of Christ is recognized by permitting to Christ's office only men, and then again, only men who are quite qualified. And if you want to see the qualifications, you can read Paul on the subject in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. So we're not cherry-picking verses. We're simply being faithful to what was delivered to us from the apostles themselves and from Christ himself. When we come back, we're going to be talking about stem cell research, a new breakthrough, and then Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest to talk about voting on one and one issue alone. Stay tuned. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Only one race. Why the differences?
Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis.
In our teaching conferences around the world, we explain how the book of Genesis teaches we're all of one blood, one race. But what about some of the visible differences amongst people, you know, like eye shapes, shade of skin, and so on? Where'd these features come from? Well, the Bible tells us. It's in Genesis chapter 11. The whole human race once lived in one city, but God saw their evil plans to build the Tower of Babel, so he divided their language, preventing families from communicating with each other. They ended up leaving the city and building new cities around the world. Today's people groups came as a result of this division. As the various families moved out over the earth, different combinations of certain genes ended up dominating in particular people groups. And this resulted in the rather minor, but still noticeable, differences we see today. You see, Genesis explains that we're all descendants of one family, Adam and Eve. We're one race. The physical differences are so minor that even secular scientists are starting to admit that.
We look much more into the fascinating account of the Tower of Babel and at the origin of all the different people groups in Ken Ham's DVD. To get your copy, all you have to do is send us a gift of any amount. For some fascinating viewing, just call our nonprofit ministry toll-free at 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or go to the web at answersoffer.org.